Hello, and welcome to Fraser 365. I'm Cami Culpepper, the Family and Connections Minister here at Fraser Church in Montgomery, Alabama. We're excited to be in a series we're calling In His Steps, Your Life Has Meaning. As you listen to these devotionals, our prayer is that you would find your meaning by being deeply rooted in the love of Christ as you learn to walk in His steps.
Thanks for joining us on day 17 of In His Steps. Today's title is Jesus the Messiah. David Guzik said, "Peter knew the opinion of the crowd. While it was complimentary towards Jesus, wasn't accurate. Jesus was much more than John the Baptist or Elijah or a prophet. He was more than a national reformer, more than a miracle worker, and more than a prophet. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah." Our text today is Matthew 16, verse 16. Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter's confession in Matthew 16, 16 is hailed as the cornerstone of the Christian faith, marking the divine recognition of Jesus' identity. In order to understand it fully, notice Charles Swindoll's detailed comments. We need to break it down and think about it carefully. The word Christ, Greek Christos, is a translation of the Hebrew word Mashiach, from which we get the English word Messiah. The Hebrew term means anointed one. In the Old Testament, an anointing ceremony in which olive oil was used was performed to consecrate prophets, priests, and kings. But while Israel had many anointed prophets, priests, and kings throughout history, all of these were seen as anticipating the ultimate prophet, priest, and king, the Messiah, or Christ. Along with his confession that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah, Peter also confessed that Jesus was the Son of the living God. This title probably comes from Psalm 2, a messianic psalm that the disciples would have been very familiar with. It reads, "I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.'" That the Messiah, or anointed king, would be the Son of God, installed as his regent, was a common idea at the time. In fact, Psalm 89 says this concerning King David. "He will cry to me, 'You are my father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. I also shall make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. My loving kindness I will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall be confirmed to him. So I will establish his descendants forever, and his throne as the days of heaven." Peter also clarified that Jesus was the Son of the living God. This phrase is common in the Old Testament, and it is used to contrast the true living, that is the real God, from the false gods. R.T. France suggests the adjective living may perhaps have been included to contrast the one true God with the local deities. Caesarea Philippi was a center of the worship of Pan. I appreciate two things about Peter's answer to Jesus' ultimate question. First, though Peter was in way over his head theologically, he didn't hesitate to state the truth. I'm not sure Peter was fully aware of what it meant that Jesus was the Messiah. Surely he understood its implications for Jesus' kingship in relationship to being a descendant of David. But whether Peter knew that Jesus was also the anointed prophet and the anointed eternal high priest, we can't be sure. And when Peter called Jesus the Son of the living God, did he have a full knowledge of Jesus' divine sonship as the second person of the Trinity, co-eternal with the Father? Certainly Peter understood that Jesus was greater than any human he had ever met, that he had been sent by God, and that he was the Son of God in the sense that he was the descendant of David destined to be enthroned as the Messiah. But it may very well be that Peter spoke more than he knew when he confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. Second, Peter wasn't afraid to risk himself in front of his peers. Remember, due either to uncertainty or to fear, the rest of the disciples kept quiet. Perhaps they were waiting for someone else to venture an opinion. And then they would read Jesus' body language or wait for his response before either agreeing or disagreeing. For whatever reason, they played it safe and said nothing. But not Peter. Even though he was operating way above his pay grade, he went for broke and said what was on his heart. In order for us to give ourselves fully to Jesus and for Christ, we must believe completely that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Here are some questions to consider. How is Peter's confession the foundational statement for your salvation and the cornerstone for the Christian faith? What is significant about the adjective living in Peter's confession? How does knowing who Jesus is give you the right foundation to give yourself to him in faith? Thanks for joining us today.